we have the other one. So let's record the whole thing too. Good morning. Welcome to the I Need More Money radio show. I'm your host, Matt Monero. I love saying that saying, I need more money, because every time I say it, it freaks people out, and it even freaks me out when I say it, man. It's so important, and people just don't like talking about it. This concept of money just freaks people out. But that's the whole idea behind my book, I Need More Money: What to Do When You Wake Up and You Don't Have Enough. That book is coming out in the fall of this year. We have written the first third of the book. We're working on the second third of the book. The third third of the book will be done by the end of the first quarter, and then it'll go into publication, and it'll be for sale in the fall of this year. Who am I? My name is Matt Monero. I'm your host. I come to you every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and we talk about money. But I don't talk about money like a guy like Dave Ramsey or Susie Orman. I talk about the real impact of money, because I started from nothing and I built a company that now does $100 million a year. In my 20 years in business, my company's done over $1 billion in equipment financing. The name of the company is Commercial Fleet Financing, and we're here out of Dallas, Texas. And so now I want to help other people, both individuals and small business owners, medium-sized business owners, or big business owners, understand how we can get our money right. And so I do this call-in show every single week, and this is a call-in show to help you with your money issues. So give me a call at 866-606-8255, or you can also get us on Twitter. Get me on Twitter at Matt Monero, and get me on hashtag I Need More Money. All right, we're going to take some callers today. I've got some callers lined up, but if you want to call in, please feel free to go ahead and give us a call, and let's talk about your money questions. The thing I really want to start with today is, you know, I'm really concerned with people talking about investing their money for the long term, right? Everybody gets so caught up in what is the rate of return that I'm going to get? You know, how much am I going to get in my mutual fund? Or what could I get if I put it in certificates of deposit? Or what if I just put it in a money market account at my bank? Or what if I did tax-free municipal bonds? Or what if I started to flip houses and got my cash on cash rate of return? Look, all of that stuff sounds good, but you know what it means for most of us? It's fantasy land. Most of us aren't working on cash on cash rates of return. You know what we're working on? I need more money. That's what we're figuring out. We're not figuring out what are we going to do with the money when I get it. We don't got the money to get it. So that's the idea. That's what makes this show different. We talk about how do you actually get more money? What is the roadmap that you can take? Not the fantasy land of what you're going to do once you have more money. Because most of us never get the more money to be able to put that money to work. So we got to do something different. And that's the whole concept of the radio show and the book. It's helping regular people who have recognized, I need more money. Now someone help me with it. So today's show, we are going to talk about compound interest and what we do with it. But the first thing we got to recognize is, how do we get more money? And so I've got Patrick, our video production assistant, in the studio with me as always. Patrick, how are you?
How's it going, Matt?
It's going great, awesome. Buddy. So Patrick, you've been working with our company for how many months now?
Almost 4 months now.
4 months?
Yeah.
You came to us answering an ad for video production assistant / intern.
Yes.
And you thought you were going to come to this company and you were going to do what?
Just video production, nothing else. You know, I never, you know, this company that I went into is totally different from what I thought it was going to be.
So tell me what's different. I mean, what you know, did you recognize it day one, or did it take a couple of weeks for you to be like, holy crap, this isn't exactly what I thought?
No, I think it's day one. Like, you realize that this is much bigger than, you know, what you'd expect. So,
and so you never in a million years thought that you'd be on a live radio show talking about the concept of I need more money.
No, I never did, and it's very exciting. So,
but it freaks you out a little bit too, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So what freaks you out, the topic of more money, or that you're on the radio show being forced to talk about more money?
Both, actually.
Both, right? Of course. But really, when you hear people talking about money, what happens to you? I mean, does it just sort of, does it make you clam up, or does it actually make you jump and say, oh, let me get in on this conversation?
Yeah. Honestly, it's something that you stray away from, kind of. It's it's a difficult thing, and sometimes your mind just like, I don't want to think about it. I'll think about it tomorrow or whatever. So.
And you know, for me, why I never wanted to talk about money was because I always felt inadequate about it. I always felt that somebody else has more than I have.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way when you're talking about money?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, well, this guy's got to have more money than I do?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I do.
And so do you think that's one of the reasons why it's hard for you to talk about it?
Sometimes. It's kind of, you don't want to think about all the hard work that goes into it. You know, it's kind of that greedy nature of just, I want it now. And like, so.
Do you think that getting more money forces you to be greedy and therefore greed is not something you want to be part of?
No, not really. It's just, you got to understand, you got to break habits. And I think that's the hardest part.
So what about this concept of I need more money, this thought process of it's not just about coming to work for the hourly wage, it's I actually need more. How you didn't expect that kind of line of thinking to come across your desk when you started here 4 months ago, I guarantee you that.
No, I didn't.
So how do you feel about it?
I mean, it's funny because I'm actually like a perfect kind of example because I'm someone that, you know, never thought about it until, you know, I had my kid 4 months ago. And before that, I could care less about money. I live off of $10 a week, like weenies and bread. And then, you know, you got to take care of three other people. So, you know, I got this job, once that happened, my family started. So all this talk about money and like, you know, I need to do something about it. So,
yeah. So that's the key, man. I appreciate you jumping in and sharing that because look, man, it's the reality of the situation. We all need more money. The downside is that's not really what's hard. Most people come to me and they're like, yeah, dude, I get it. No joke. Now show me how you're going to do it. So that dovetails into today's topic because really what we need to get into is I don't want you to get crazy for my listeners. I don't want you, the individual listening to me right now, to get crazy over how do I invest my money? How do I get compound interest to work for me? How do I, what investment strategy should I go after? Should I do tax-free munis? Should I flip houses? Should I buy multifamily properties? Should I go ahead and do money market accounts? Should I do swaps? Should I do, should I invest in mutual funds or the stock market? Or should I just be a day trader? You know what you need to do? You need to go back to your core channel of distribution, the business that you're in, the opportunity that you're in right now, and you need to test to see, does it have legs to allow you to make more money? Because you got to find the platform. The platform is the key. The one thing that I have been lucky about is I knew when I started my equipment finance business 20 years ago, I knew there was money in this business. So I knew that the platform was the right platform for me. If I had success, if I could figure it out, if I could do something differently, if I could scale it, if I could hire like-minded people and do something unique to the marketplace, that it would be worth the effort because the platform had money. Now, I blew it. I mean, I screwed it up for at least the first 10 or 12 years. I mean, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. For years, we were just throwing noodles on the ceiling here in my office, from hiring mistakes to really not understanding business. I mean, heck, I got a hotel restaurant management degree in college. I didn't know anything about running a business. I started my business when I was 25 years old. I didn't know anything about running a business. I just knew that I didn't like working for anybody else and that I wasn't good at taking orders. So I went into business for myself. Wrong, not the right way to do it. And I wasted a long time. I got by. I provided for my wife and my kids barely. But I just knew that, you know, I could do more. And so I got real serious about it about 10 years ago. And really, we ripped and tore up the company culture here. And we really changed everything when we created our core values and began to hire really like-minded people. And that began to change everything. And then about 5 years ago, I got really serious about the money side of things. And the company's exploded. And now we do $100 million a year. And it's good. But now we're ready to go to the next level. I'm gonna be the first billion-dollar independently owned equipment finance company in the country. And a lot of people tell me that sounds like a crazy dream, but I can tell you this, that when I dreamed about doing $100 million a year, everybody told me that was crazy too, and we got there. So if I could have gotten to $100 million based on people telling me it was crazy, I don't need to listen to those people when I start throwing out a billion. So we're gonna get there. But what you gotta do, guys, is you gotta recognize, am I in the right platform? So I work at Subway Sandwich Shop, and I wanna make $1 million a year. Man, it's not going to play out that way. It just don't work. I'm a pastor at a church. probably not the platform that you're going to make $1 million a year at. Now, the top 1% of the pastors in churches might. There's a guy here in the Dallas area who makes multiple millions of dollars as a pastor of a church. But in general, most people are in the wrong platform if they want to get rich. So we got to test the platform, and that's what we're going to work on in segment two. We're going to take a couple callers. My name is Matt Monero. I want you to follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero, hashtag I need more money. And I want you to stay very close here because this radio show is the one that gives you the roadmap of how you're going to make more money. It doesn't just talk about the concept. Well, I'm going to give you the roadmap, so stick around. Excellent. Welcome back. You're listening to me. My name is Matt Monero. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. The name of the show is the I Need More Money radio show. And it's a call-in show, so give us a call at 866-606-8255. Hey, we're talking about money here, that most uncomfortable conversation that nobody likes to talk about except for me. I love talking about money. Because we need to remove the uncomfortableness around money so we can get people back on the track of actually making real money and moving their lives to better situations. I've written a book called I Need More Money, What to Do When You Wake Up and You Don't Have Enough. The book will be out in the fall of 2016. We're finishing it up right now. We're halfway through the book, and I am incredibly proud of this book, and I think it's going to help millions and millions of people. In segment one, we talked about a number of different things, but we brought Patrick, my video production manager, in, and Patrick was letting us know about how working for our company has opened up his eyes on this topic of I need more money. But Patrick, during a break, you said to me that you wish you had jumped in because, you know, you had gotten a little bit complacent in your career thoughts, right?
True. Yeah. I was talking to Matt about it. You know, I fell into a hole where, you know, I accepted a not that interesting job and kind of tricked myself into thinking, you know, I'll work this job, but on the side I'll do, you know, this impossible thing of like YouTube or...
Yeah, but give me the details. You were working a job where? Like a department store?
Yeah, I was working at an arts and crafts store. You know, I was like, hey, at least I'll be able to, you know, paint and art and stuff, and I'll be able to sell paintings and, you know, make a living off of it. But, you know, it's just, it was always a thought. It was always a dream, and I never acted on it. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know. You just get stuck.
So the YouTube thing was you were going to teach people how to paint?
Well, yeah, kind of. It was going to be like a digital painting, like processes, sure. And, you know, 3D modeling and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess you just get too scared, I guess.
Well, you get scared to go for your dreams, and then the good Lord blesses you with a baby.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah. I need more money, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for the dreams. Thank you for the arts and crafts room. But guess what? I got to go out in the world to make more money.
Yeah, right? For sure.
That's what happens, man. People actually get so afraid of this concept of I need more money, but we shouldn't be afraid of it. Hey, we're going to jump on and take a caller right now. I've got Simone on the line. Simone, welcome to the show. What can I help you with?
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. I have a question for you. So 4 months ago, I just started my startup business. It's a digital media website. And right now I'm in the process of gathering funding, which is why I was interested in your topic in the book that you're writing, I Need More Money, because I was wondering what is the best way to go about finding investors and what's the best way to go about funding a startup business. Basically, what I've been doing is I've been hosting fundraising events, and that gets me a few $100 here and there, but I need to find people that, either people or find sources of money to actually have something more than just a couple measly, like $100 or $1,000. Like, I need six figures or five figures to start up my business. What's the best way to go about doing that?
So it's an interesting twist on the topic of I need more money. I never looked at I need more money from your version of it. Your version is I need more money from investors to help fund my business. I've always looked at I need more money as I personally need more money in my personal bank account. So it's an interesting twist on the title of the book. But here's my stance on it. I have a very hard stance on it. I've been in business 20, this is the start of our 21st year in business, and I have never taken a dime from anybody. Never. Not one penny from anybody. Now, I have maxed out all of my credit cards and burned through my 401k and all of my savings to keep my business afloat, and I didn't do it once. I've done it three times. So technically, there's an argument that we've been broke three different times in our 20 years in business, but I never was beholden to anyone from an investor standpoint. And so my recommendation to you, Simone, is don't be either. Why do you think you need money from somebody else? Why can't you build a business that can generate cash flow on its own to support itself right out of the gates? Why do you think you need somebody else's money to get this business off the ground?
I've been thinking about it because I do agree with you. Like before, when I had other companies or I was working, I'm a filmmaker, so when I was making my own films, working on my own projects, I would just use my own personal finances, or I would just raise some of the money on my own in another way. And I think that I was harpooning on the idea of having an investor or multiple investors because it's an opportunity to get more money than what I've been raising myself or using myself. You know, in about a year or two, I want to be able to open up a studio for my company where people can rent art supplies or go in and have rehearsals. And to do that, I live in New York, so especially to do that, it takes, you know, at least $1 million that you need to have saved up so that you can rent out and, like, lease out a space, have everything you needed, have extra money just in case. And my company, it's a website, so I need to make revenue to sustain itself through ads and through having monthly subscriptions and things like that.
So Simone, what happens if you don't? Simone, what happens if you don't get the investment? Does the business not have a chance?
Not that it doesn't have a chance, but I would have to put off renting out that studio space that I want to increase my business with.
Yeah. So here's the point: if you were to remove the need for fundraising completely out of your energy activity, where are you focusing your energy? If you pulled out of that altogether and just said it wasn't an option, so I have to make it work without an investment from someone else, I personally think that is a great litmus test for whether the business will actually work. And my suggestion to you is don't look for the outside money. Test the business in its purest form. Because look, if you were to go to a guy like me and say, I want X number of dollars for your business, the first thing I'm going to say to you is give me proof of concept. Show me that it's generated, even if it's generated 50 grand or 100 grand, show me that there is a rev stream that my expertise can help you scale it. But you're going to have a hard time recruiting investors without that. And my personal belief is you don't need the investors. The type of business you're talking about, you can build without an investor base. And you need to look at your business as though if it's impossible for me to get the money, would I still be doing this business? And if the answer is yes, do it without the money and grow the doggone business yourself. I want to thank you for your call, Simone. Thank you. It's an important topic.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's really helpful.
Okay, you got it. Take care. So guys, that's the thing. People are looking for ways to get their business off the ground, and that's fantastic. The entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in America in 2016. Here's the problem. Most of them don't work. The businesses don't work. They're using other people's money potentially to get that business off the ground, and that's not the play. Because in order to get somebody else's money, you know what you got to do? You got to give up equity in your business. And if your business has real legs and it can make it, you don't want to give up equity. You want to hold on to the equity. So that's my point to Simone is, listen, you need to test your business. Make sure the business has real legs before you go out into the marketplace and start taking money from other people. I never took a dime from one person to get my business off the ground, and I suffered a tremendous price for that. But in the end, it has been worth it. And if your business is a good business, it'll be worth it too. We're moving on to segment three here. I want you to stick around. The first thing you got to do is call me, though, at 866-606-8255. Get your hands on some of these nuggets that we're talking about. Segment three, we are talking about compound interest. Stick around. Welcome back to the I Need More Money show. My name is Matt Monero, your host. Every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Love talking about this show because I'm trying to change the world's view on money. I want us to put money on the table and talk about it so we are not freaked out about it. It's the only way we are going to fix this money problem in America. People are freaked out about how are they going to make more money. Nobody has really given them a roadmap. All we're doing is telling them why they need it, and we're telling them what to do with it when they get it, and most people don't know how to get it. And that's what we're trying to do on this show. We're trying to give a roadmap that is meaningful. One of the things we've been talking about today is the testing of your foundation, the platform. Are you really in a position that you can actually earn what you need to earn? And the thought process is, listen, if you want to make $1 million a year and you're making sandwiches at Subway, it ain't going to work. Now, don't get me wrong. You may have dreams. You may be working at Subway to learn how to run a Subway franchise, and you have dreams that you want to buy 50 Subway sandwich shops. By the way, I've done a lot of financing for Subway sandwich shops. The average Subway sandwich shop in America is owned by a guy. The average owner will make $40,000 a year on that Subway sandwich shop. So you need a lot of Subway sandwich shops to make some bucks. But listen, think about it. If you want to buy 10 of them, that's 400 grand a year. Life is pretty good for you. 20 is 800. 30 is $1.2 million. 40 is $1.6 million. And 50 Subway sandwich shops, you're making $2 million a year. Life is really good. So it could be the platform for someone that actually has the dreams to do something with it. The challenge is most of us are just working at the Subway sandwich shop with the dream in the wrong platform. So we got to get in the right platform, guys. That's litmus test number one. We're in segment three of our weekly radio show here. I'm going to jump on the phone with Dean. Dean, welcome to the show, buddy. My name is Matt Monero. What's cooking?
Hey, man. What's up?
All's good, man. How about you?
Well, you know what? Like most people, and like you just said, I have the ambition to make more money, but I'm stuck working at a metaphorical Subway sandwich because I don't work at Subway. I work at a movie theater.
Yeah. All right. I gotcha. So why are you stuck working? I mean, it's all we're in America, man, where freedom is choice. So how come you're stuck? You're not stuck. You could leave today if you want.
Oh, that's true. I could leave today, but then I would have no source of income, which would be a problem for my future career. See, I want to be an actor, stand-up comedian, actor. Those are the type of things that no one that you can't apply for those things. You know, it's complicated.
Give me your best clean joke. Give me a good clean joke. I'd like a dirty joke, but we're on the radio, so give me a clean joke.
Clean joke? Well, oh man, stand-up comedy is hard to tell, like one-on-one, but I have this one joke I tell that usually gets me a lot of laughs, where it's like, I tell about how I was on this really embarrassing date with this girl back when I was like 17, and the whole date, this girl's trying to open up to me, you know, she's trying to tell me stuff about herself. She tries, and then at the end of the date, she tries to tell me she's weird, and I'm trying to find out why. She tells me it's because she's not a virgin. But she didn't say she wasn't a virgin. She said she didn't have her V card. And I didn't know what that meant, so I asked her if she needed cash. And that's sort of the whole, that's like the embarrassing part. It's more funny when I tell the story.
Listen, I gave you a laugh. Patrick gave you a laugh, so he likes that joke too.
Yeah, he reminds me of one of my friends that he actually tries to do comedian stuff too. So,
Dean, can you make money as a comedian or what? I mean, I don't know much about it. Is there money? I mean, obviously the top 1% of all industries make big money. Look at a guy like Seinfeld. But for real, can an average comedian make money as a comedian, or is it a tough grind?
Well, I think you can. You see, look at guys like Kevin Hart who sell themselves as their product. Kevin Hart, I mean, I've never seen a guy make so much money off admitting that he's short. But he does it.
Yeah, he's funny, though. He's funny.
But it's debatable. No, I'm kidding. But like guys like Louis C.K. who are not rich and famous, but they have enough to live the way they want. And that's the goal I'm going for. Although I do want to be in movies and stuff, so I think that would happen. Louis C.K. doesn't. I think you can make money. With stand-up. It's a business. People forget that. It's not just all fun and games. It is a business.
Yeah, no question about it. So that's your true passion. Your passion in life is you want to be in movies and you want to be a comedian. But the holding point right now, the sort of stepping stone is that you're working in a movie theater right now and going no place. That's your opinion of going no place. I'm not saying you're going no place, but you feel like you're going no place.
Well, I don't think I'm going no place. Like it on the side, I use it to make. I use the movie theater to make my money, but whenever I have a little bit of money, you know, I go do. I've passed auditions at clubs. I go do club stand up and I do shows. Speaking of which, I actually am doing a show this February 12th at in Astoria, in a place called the Shalala Tavern. So anybody wants to come see me there, it'll be cool.
You got a social media following? What's your Twitter handle?
I don't have a Twitter handle. I actually have a Facebook page. It's called Dean David, and I'm pretty sure you can find it. I don't know how many people are named Dean David.
Well, there we go. So, listen, if I was in your shoes, the first thing I'd be doing is I'd be trying to do some videos and go viral. I try to build a community on YouTube. I try to build a community on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and Snapchat and Google Plus. I mean, literally, I would be using the internet to push my material out there because it's free and it doesn't cost you anything. It only costs you time. And so that's what I'd be doing.
A lot of that.
Well, how can we stop?
Well, I feel like the idea that someone might steal my jokes, like if they see them on YouTube, because there's no way to prove that they're mine if somebody else hears them.
Yeah, look, I mean, I get that, but I mean, it's also a similar thing in our business world of like, well, I'm not going to start new projects or build a new website or do a radio show or create a network or write a book because I'm terrified that somebody's going to steal the idea, man. The fact of the matter is you need exposure much more so than you need to worry about people taking your stuff. So you need to push content, my friend. That's what I'd be doing. If I was in your shoes, I'd be pushing content. The other thing is, are you getting paid for these gigs, for these comedy gigs in February, or are they freebies?
Unfortunately not. I'm having to do freebies.
So don't worry about it. Yeah, man, don't worry about it. Listen, I spoke to a group of truck dealers yesterday, and it's all free. A lot of the stuff I do is free. I'm doing this radio show for free, man. I didn't get paid on this radio show. So the point is, if you're going to do stuff for free, you need to do a lot of it because it builds the chops. Right? The thing I got out of my speaking gig for yesterday is I made a few mistakes. I will do the next one, which could be on Monday, much better than I did the last one. And you need to be able to do that too. You got to perfect that craft. So look, man, I'm not trying to tell you exactly what to do, but a few things. You got to get back to those videos. You got to get back to social media. All platforms on social media need to have you on it. Give me that Facebook page again so people can find you. Dean what?
David. My last name is David.
Dean David.
Dean David is your name. Dean David. Yep.
I think one thing I can definitely, my friend was exactly in your, he worked at the movie theater for 7 years and he was tired of it, but he had his YouTube account and every day he'd make the best content he could. And he's, again, he wanted to be a comedian. He wanted to be on films. Right now he's a video production for the Dallas department or Dallas Police Department. But anyways, he was doing so many YouTube videos. He was actually picked up by, I think they're called We Love Film. And he gets to go and interview all these celebrities. He's taking pictures with, you know, Kevin Hart. He met him not too long ago, and it was because he put so much content out there.
Yeah.
And he's taken me. I've met Seth Rogen because, you know, I know him.
So Dean David, that's it, man. There's your real life example from Patrick. Push more content, baby. Yeah, own it.
It's all about content.
I appreciate your call, buddy. Take care of yourself, man. Continued good luck. Call me back.
Thank you.
You got it. Okay, guys, there you have it. You've got our friend Dean David. Check him out on Facebook, trying to make a living as a comedian. In my opinion, not taking enough action, not pushing hard enough, doing stuff. Like I say in my book, The Grit, your mama had it wrong when she told you the most important step was the first step. It's not. The first step doesn't count for much in a world of grit. It's the second, third, fourth, fifth. It's the ability to do it over and over and over and over, even when you think it's going no place. So when you're pushing videos on YouTube, or you're pushing messages on Facebook, or you're pushing out tweets, or you're pushing out pictures on Pinterest, you've got to do it over and over and over. Even when your stuff doesn't get shared, it doesn't get liked, it doesn't get retweeted, you still need to push it. Because sooner or later, if it's good and it's worthy, somebody's going to find it, and somebody's going to show some interest in you, and somebody is going to respect the grit. Somebody understands. Jerry Seinfeld understands that if he didn't work those dumpy clubs for free for all those years, he never would have gotten a TV show. Never. He understands that. People who have made it respect the grind. And people who have made it understand you don't make it if you don't have the grind. So the same thing applies in writing books. I mean, look, my first book is self-published, but I know for sure that people respect it because I wrote a doggone book. So stick around for segment four. I'm going to get to compound interest, I promise. We're back for the last segment of the I Need More Money radio show. I'm your host, Matt Monero. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We've had some very good callers, and we're talking about not the idea necessarily of what do we do with the money once we get it, but really, how do we get the doggone money? That's everybody's real question. But in order to really understand it, you got to understand the platform that you're in, the foundation. What is it that you're currently doing? Does it actually throw off the opportunity for you to make more money? And so that becomes the litmus test, right? You got to ask yourself, am I in the right platform? And if you're not, you need to have the guts to change it. And that means literally maybe skilling up, maybe going back to school, or just maybe going to a competitor in the same industry who has a different compensation plan. But you got to put yourself in the right platform. And why? So that once you actually start making a few bucks, you have the luxury of doing something with that money. And here's the thing that I see all the time, and even in my office, I have a lot of guys that make good money in my office, but they really don't know what to do with that money. They don't have a roadmap or a structure. And so I'm going to lay it out here real quick so we just get an idea. Look, the rule of thumb when it comes to savings is this. If you save 10% of your top line income, so if you make $100,000 a year, I'm talking about 10%, meaning 10 grand that you save. I'm not talking about 10% of the net. I'm talking about 10% of the gross. If you save 10% of your income, you will retire, according to these stats, you will retire poor. If you save 15% of your income, you will retire middle class. And if you save 20% of your income, you will retire rich. That is not true. If you save 20% of your income, obviously depending upon the number, but 20% for most people, you will not retire rich. It doesn't work out that way. You need to put away more cash. But I'm going to give you some examples here that start to help you understand it, because you really need to understand why it is important to be in a platform to make enough money to be able to save 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40% of your income so that you can put that money to work and allow compound interest to take over a period of time. That's how you can make up the ground. So let's just take a look at it for a second. And I'm going to throw out some numbers here with a calculator that'll get us talking and get us thinking about it. And you in your own mind can come up with your own version of it, but I'm going to build out a window of 20 years, okay? And here's why 20 years works for me, and particularly why it works in the book. Because whether you're starting at 20 years old, you're 40 when these numbers play out, or you're 30, you're now 50, or you're 40, and after 20 years, you're now 60, or at 50, you're 70. You see, the point is, even if most people haven't put away enough, there's still time. Because 70 years old isn't old anymore. It's really young. And so if you're 50 and you haven't put away enough money, what I'm about to show you is you can still start at 50 years old and make up the difference over a 20-year period of time. So when you're 70, if people want to retire at 65, that's always the number that's been used. There's a lot of people that don't want to retire at 65. They're healthy, they're vibrant, they want to keep working. So why not work at 70 or 75? My mother's 72 years old. She still works. She's in amazing health. She looks fantastic at 72 years old. All right? So let's take a look at some of these numbers. I'm going to say that you start... So you put away $1,000 to get you started. and you're going to pull a 6% annual return on that money. Okay? Now, that's a whole other story. Where are you going to get your 6%? Because if you put your money in a bank right now, you're going to get maybe 0.25. If you put it in tax-free municipal bonds, maybe you're going to get 3%. A money market is paying less than 1%. So you got to figure out where you're going to get it. But on average, there is an argument that a lot of mutual funds over time can throw off a 6% rate of return. So I'm going to use that as a 6% rate of return. And now we've got to figure out how much can we actually save. So if we look at that, say the average American family earns $51,000 a year. If they could put away 10% of that, that's $5,000 a year that they could save, or it's roughly $400. So I'm going to say that every month that family can put out $400. And so we're starting with a grand, we have a 6% rate of return, and we're doing it over a 20-year period of time, and we are adding $400 a month. And at the end of that 20-year period of time, that family will have $189,000 saved. Listen, that's a lot better than zero, which is what most people have, which is zero. So here's my point. If you're 40 years old and you have nothing put aside, by the way, very common occurrence in America, I'm 46 years old. Lots of people in my age group have no real retirement money put aside. You could still pick up almost 200 grand at those numbers. But let's change it a little bit. What if you actually figured out a way to make more money? And so you went from 50 grand a year to 100 grand a year, and you were able to then save more. Because if you can live off 50, if you're making 100, you should be able to save more. So let's say you went to 20% savings on $100,000. You started with the same $1,000. We didn't move the 6% rate of return, and we didn't move the 20% interest rate. But now you've got 20 grand a year to put aside. And so let's just say that that 20 grand a year is $1,600 a month that now you can save. Let's see what happens. Over a 20-year period of time, you have $746,000 saved up. So do you think it's important to make more money? Do you think it's important that the average American family making $51,000 a year should figure out a way to make $100,000 a year? Because if they can get by at 51, they can live on 100 and bank 20% of that 100 grand. If they did that for a 20-year period of time, so whether they started at 20 years old, they started at 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, or even 60 years old, and they put away $1,600 a month at a 6% rate of return, starting basically from zero, they could still have $750,000 saved up. So don't tell me money isn't important, folks. It is. Making more money is really important. And that's my mission. It's my mission through the radio show. It's my mission through the book. The book is called I Need More Money. Hashtag on Twitter, I Need More Money. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. I come to you every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and I will be here next Thursday to take your calls to talk about money. And we're going to be on a mission to throw money not from the closet. We're going to take it out of the closet, and we're going to throw it on the dinner table. I appreciate everybody. Till the next time we talk. Peace.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.